It's nice to see you back. Let's give a round handy welcome to our pastor, Pastor Clifford G. Wilson.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're so happy to see everybody today. You glad to be here?
Yes.
Look at someone and say, I'm really glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you.
Praise the Lord. Is this working yet?
Mother, I'm glad to see you, Mother.
The Lord. Well, God bless you and heaven smile on you. We're going to go to the Word. It's St. John chapter 18. I shared with my wife some of the things that I was discovering as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And so I felt after a while, I said, okay, this is what the Lord has given me to talk about, to share with you. Praise the Lord. If you see what the subject says, right? Jesus stepped forward so we can step up. Say it with me.
Jesus
so we can
step up.
Say it again.
Jesus stepped forward.
So
we can step up.
One more time.
Jesus stepped forward so we can step up.
Okay, all right. Now let's look at it according to what the Word is saying here. After saying these things, can y'all see that real good? After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Verse number 2 says, Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. Okay? Verse 3. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward. See where I got that? He stepped forward to meet them. And as I was reading, how I got this is I was reading and I read on past, I went down to 5, I just kept reading. And so he stepped forward, and who are you looking for? The question he asked in verse 5, Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with him. Verse 6 says, as Jesus said, someone say it with me. I am he. They all drew back and fell to the ground. Verse 7. Once more he asked them, who are you looking for? And again they replied, Jesus the Nazarene. Okay? Verse 8. I told you that I am he, Jesus said. And since I am the one you want, let these others go. He did this to fulfill his own statement. I did not lose a single one of those you have given me. I want you to read that with me. I did not lose a single one of those you gave me. Say it again. I did not lose a single one of those you gave me. Say it one more time. Let it get in your spirit. I did not lose
a single one of those you have given me.
One more time. Amen. Verse 10, then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. Verse 11, but Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? And the final verse says, So the soldiers, their commanding officer and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. And that is all from the New Living Translation. Okay? Thank you, honey. You can go back to verse number 1, if you will. God bless you, Pastor. It's good to see you. Amen. Pastor Blakely and his family.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, you see the subject is, you saw where I got that from verse 4, right? Now, as I continue on the topic of don't take it personally, I want to share from John's gospel narrative. This week and subsequent weeks, I want to share from the subject, Jesus stepped forward so we can step up. Monday night, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the mandate from God for Mount Pisgah. Y'all remember that? Those of you who were here. Those of you who weren't here, I take part blame for that because... I say that only simply because we didn't have like 2 or 3 weeks to announce it. But I just want to say this to you real solemn and seriously. You have to keep your ears and heart and mind open for what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
Remember the five wise and the five foolish? The Bible says that the five wise took some oil with them, but the five foolish virgins didn't. Praise the Lord. So at midnight, it didn't say when, it said go out and meet it. And it didn't say how long they were going to have to stay. But the Bible says at midnight the cry was made and the five wise were ready simply because they had their ear open to what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to them. All right? So we have to remember to learn from these scriptures. All this stuff that we're preaching and teaching and is more than for just a fuzzy, warm feeling to make you feel good, to make you want to jump and shout. Isn't that right, Mother? Praise our God. Hallelujah. Don't fool yourself. Even when the Holy Spirit is using people and blessing folk, a part of what's happening is the flesh is going to get involved. Hello? 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. The flesh is going to get involved, Sister Shirlette. You know, when we are praying, praise God, we trust me. Hallelujah. Trust me. If your back is hurting like mine was when my neck had that slip disc, I was praying, God, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I didn't pray one time, Pastor, to say, let this thing just stay with me so I can learn from it. Oh, no, I wanted to get rid of that pain for the glory of God. Of course I wanted God to work a miracle for the glory of God, but there was an ulterior motive. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, brother? Come on. And we have to realize that. One of the things that I do when I go away, I take a bunch of books, and I've read this book once before, but I thought I'd read it again. It's old. You can see it's all. It's called Prayer. And it's by O. Howlsby. You probably never heard of him because I never did. It's a world-famous classic to deepen and enrich your prayer life. And if there's one thing I want enriched and deepened in me, is my prayer life. I want to know how to pray. Man, I'm telling you, you know. Because if Jesus is telling us to do it, and he's letting us know that there is an urgency, a quiet type of urgency. You know, it's not like God is screaming, pray, pray, pray! Isn't that right? Because if he was, he'd get our attention. We pray, right? Because some of the poems and some of the writings say when God speaks like that, when he speaks, thunder roll. You've seen these TV movies and things where they want to portray God when he speaks, there's always that James Earl Jones type. It's sexy, but it's powerful. Y'all hear me? Come on now. Don't let the word sexy throw you. It ain't about that. It's about the idea. Thank you. Anyway, when I was reading this book about prayer, it was a very interesting statement in there, and I showed it to my wife. It says, in prayer, the church has received power to rule the world. Don't take it personal. It ain't about you ruling the world now. It says the church is always the little flock. But if it would stand together on its knees, it would dominate world politics. It will dominate world politics from the prayer room.
All right, come on, Pastor. Amen.
Now, this is an old book, y'all. O is the name, period. That's the first initial. O Hallesby, H-A-L-L-E-S-B-Y. H-A-L-L-E-S-B-Y. Now, that's the first part. But now listen to the last part. And this is what really got me. It says, and the result would be, let me read it, I'm going to read it and start over. In prayer, the church has received power to rule the world. The church is always the little flock. But if it would stand together on its knees, it would dominate world politics from the prayer room. And the result would be one of two things. Sis, I know you're going to appreciate this. Either worldwide revival or the appearance of Antichrist. You're going to pray up something. When you pray, you're going to pray up something. Either you're going to pray worldwide revival or Antichrist. Are y'all hearing me? Are you hearing me? We're supposed to dominate. But see, the thing of it is, when we dominate, we don't talk about it. We don't brag about it. It's not something to be grasped. Because Jesus was the Son of God, had all power. But he didn't think that of great reputation. I'm trying to put it in words in my own paraphrase here. But he didn't make of himself no great reputation just because he was the Son of God. But it says he laid down his reputation. He laid down himself. He became obedient. That's it. Even to the cross. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Because in this chapter, John 18, let me get to my message. Okay, Monday night 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the mandate from God for Mount Pisgah. Brother Peter, since that time, the madness has continued. I thought about you when I wrote that sentence because I used to hear you say that word madness a lot. And I thought, wow, madness. It's true. Since that time, the madness has continued. My wife and I were away for 8 days down in Mexico, so I don't have the data for last weekend. However, this weekend, Sister Julia, up to last night in Chicago, 14 people were shot. Two of them were fatalities. I don't know what it was last weekend. Does anyone know? See, I listen every weekend because it is appalling. And you know, 14 last weekend. Well, the weekend before that was like 30-something. Y'all remember? And it's appalling that Donald Trump's election and all the bad things about Donald Trump is all the thing folk can talk about. Shame on you. If you call yourself a believer, shame on you. That's the last thing you should be talking about. You got that covered. Isn't that what I just read? We got that covered. Are you hearing me? Maybe some of y'all done forgot that our God is sovereign. That he's in control. And Donald Trump was supposed to be president. As my wife was telling her mama on the phone, I overheard the conversation. And so she was talking about it. And she was talking about it. And she said, Mom, you know that Donald Trump was already going to be president even before he was born. And her mother said this. Oh. I'm doing this. She said, Oh, it is written.
That's right. Yes.
It's written.
Yes, sir.
My Davis, it's written.
Yes, yes, sir.
Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You've heard it is written?
Yes.
Praise God. It is written. It is written. Say it. Say it.
It is written.
Say it again.
It is
say it one more time.
It is written.
Who wrote it? And according to what Brother David said one time, long time ago, that stuck in my spirit, and it wasn't just her words, it was the word of God. The word says, forever, forever. Can y'all say that?
Forever.
Oh,
Lord.
Lord, what?
Your word.
Thy word is what?
Established.
Come on now.
That's it.
Where is established?
Yeah.
Good God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
So if you've been in that place where, in that dark place that we're going to talk about today, you've been in that dark place, and you've allowed the dark place to control you, we're going to see how Jesus handled that challenge. In our text, we will see what Jesus did at the most challenging time of his life. We're looking at chapter 18. But in the preceding chapter, specifically chapters 12 through 17 of John's gospel, Jesus was ministering directly to his disciples. There were other people around Mother Davis, but his message was aimed at those who were his followers, as revealed in chapter 14, verse 22. Somebody find that. I didn't give that to her, so she don't have it. Chapter 14, verse 22. Chapter 14 of St. John, verse 22. Chapter 14 of St. John, verse 22. When somebody got to stand up and read nice and loud.
You said unto him.
Yes.
Not Iscariot more.
Uh-huh.
How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
All right. Y'all heard that?
Yes.
Could you read it one more time, brother?
Judas said unto him, not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
Now, it says Judas, not Iscariot. Because we know what had happened to Iscariot. Iscariot, the scripture said the devil had already entered him. And he's on his way to do it. Woo-hoo! Karabashataya. He's already going to do what he's supposed to do.
Yes.
Somebody say, it is written.
It is written.
Can I say this, Pope Judas? He didn't have a chance. Gone. But the Bible says, you see what I'm saying? Don't you think for a moment, let me just read what I wrote. That message, family, that message from 20, verse 22, that message has not changed.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Huh? That message hasn't changed. So listen, Jesus is only revealed to those whom the Father has chosen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Why am I saying that? Because that's one of those moments. That's one of those sealer moments that they call it. Those moments when you realize the truth of what I just said is that God, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is only revealed to those whom God chooses.
Many are called.
Are you one of the chosen? Are you one of the chosen? If you are, the word will resonate with your spirit, Brother Boney. Because the word that Jesus speaks is spirit and truth.
Hallelujah.
Everything I say of you, it just resonates in your spirit.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Mother? Praise God. It'll resonate. I heard one preacher say, when you hear the word going forth, it causes a preacher to want to preach. Well, you know what? I understand that. But at the same time, everybody ain't a preacher. So I think what it is it causes you to want to celebrate that word in you. Even if you're not a preacher, you want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And another thing that the little book showed me was that I don't have to always preach to people. I can minister to the Lord.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, you can.
You brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, you set my feet on a rock to stay. Lord, you put a song in my soul today. Hallelujah. I don't always have to have folk behind me saying amen. Because I can preach to Jesus. Because he gave the word to me. And all I'm doing is rehearsing it back to him. Are you one of those God has chosen? Is this word resonating with you today? Are you realizing that Jesus stepped forward so you could step up?
Yes.
There's a word from the Lord today. In view of the times in which we live, We're being challenged to be who we are as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We need to step up.
Yes, sir.
We need to step up.
Yes, 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 yes.
I pray that God will use this word through Holy Spirit to help us to be just as obedient to the Father as Jesus was.
Yes.
And step up also. Praise the Lord. All right? Let's look at, I have to say to you, disclose to you that in studying for this, I'm referring a lot to Dr. Warren Wiersbe's book, one of his B-series. And it says, the private ministry of our Lord with his disciples has now ended. And the public drama of redemption is about to begin. Isn't that amen? Man will do his worst, and God will respond with his very best. And that sounds good, but something in my spirit kind of twisted it around a little bit and said, no, God doesn't respond to what man does. He's already done it. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Paul said it. Paul said it in the book of Ephesians. He said, we were chosen where? In him. When? Before the... Oh, listen to me. Praise our God. I've already been chosen. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Lord, help me to calm down. Oh, I want to thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm going to share this now before I forget. Because Mother Davis, I tell you, the Bible says, and the Lord gave to us preachers and teachers. And somehow or another we forgot that a teacher don't just start today. A teacher, praise God, is one that has been around for a while. And thank God for the print, the blessing of print, because you know why? We have it today to share with what God has done in the past. I want to just read this. About 20 years ago, I made a fairly extended trip into Germany for the purpose of studying there. After having worked hard for some time, I decided to take a little vacation. Accordingly, I planned a trip to Switzerland to pay a visit to the old patriarch, Samuel Zeller. And he conducted a spiritual sanatorium on the shores of Lake Zurich for people who desired rest, not only for their bodies, but also for their souls. Zeller was an unusually gifted man, both by nature as well as by spiritual endowment. He was an excellent organizer and had succeeded in gradually building up a large institute for the care of people who were mentally or physically ill or worn out nervously. He was an outstanding preacher. I have heard men with greater natural ability as speakers, but I have never heard anyone who has surpassed Zeller as a preacher. And this is what I started to highlight for me. He succeeded in accomplishing what should be the real objective in all preaching, to bring the listeners into the presence of God by meaning of the word, by means of the word. So when I'm preaching, it's my desire. Let me finish. It was as though all else faded away and we stood in the presence of God alone when Zeller spoke. He succeeded in accomplishing what should be the real objective in all preaching, to bring the listeners into the presence of God by means of the word. It was as though all else faded away and we stood in the presence of God alone when Zeller spoke. So I shared it with my wife and I just wrote my heart's desire. And may that be true of me for your glory. I pray that. That's exactly where I am. I just don't want to preach to make people happy.
Right.
I don't even want to preach to make people glad. Whenever I preach Sister Julia, I want everything else to fade away, and it's like, you are right in the presence of God, and God is talking to you. That's what I want. And later on in his book, he was talking about Zeller, and he was saying even though he had talked about Zeller, and Zeller had done so many great things, Zeller actually came to him one day and said, I know people look at me and see me and think I am the one, but I want you to understand, it is not me. He said with tears in his eyes, he took me to a little old lady, and there were three of them, and they were old and infirmed, but they spent their time in prayer, all the time in prayer, just praying. And I'm reading this book, and I'm saying, now, and it addressed a lot of the issues. If God already knows stuff, why does he want us to pray? And answer some of my questions. I'll be sharing it with you as I go on. Not today, but as I go on, because it is very rich. It answers a lot of questions for me. Especially one of those where people just got to pray and make you know that they've been praying. When the answers come, yeah, I prayed about it. You don't have to... to let nobody know you were praying.
That's right.
Isn't that right, Mother?
Amen.
And I thought about my dear mother, and she's gone, and I can speak of her, Mother Katie Bell Wilson.
Yes, sir.
And I started thinking about Mount Pisgah since she died. I said, wow. Oh, God. I never fully realized the importance of her being in this place on her knees before God.
Yes.
And she wasn't always saying words, Brother Bonnie. There's a chapter in here about this. You don't always have to say words. A lot of times, Brother, she would just be in here just laying on her face. Sometimes she would be laying on the floor. I didn't know, come in sometime, I didn't even know she was in here, but just so quiet. But oh, my God. What a effectual working was being wrought. All right, he says here, man will do his worst and God will respond with his very best, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Perhaps the best way to see the truths of John 8, chapter 18, and grasp the lessons they convey is to pay attention to the symbolism that is involved. John's gospel is saturated with symbols, some more obvious than others, and these symbols convey some important spiritual truths. There are five symbols in this section, and I want to just deal with the one first. Notice what it says. The rest of my message is on verse 1. It says, after saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. The Kidron Valley is located east of Jerusalem between the city wall and the Mount of Olives. And the Garden of Gethsemane is on the western slope of Olivet. Jesus often went to this garden with his disciples, no doubt to rest, meditate, and pray. According to Luke chapter 22:39, it says he did. That happened. Now, at the time, Jerusalem, at this very present time, when this passage is talking about, Jerusalem was full of pilgrims because the Passover was about to take place. Y'all remember that. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, he knew that Judas would come for him there, and he was ready. Did y'all get that? The devil knew where he was,
right.
And he knew the devil was coming. Can you hear that? Let me say it again. The devil knew where he was, and Jesus knew the devil knew. and Jesus knew that the devil was coming. Y'all hear me? Is that true of you? Hello? Yeah. Now listen to me very carefully when I say this. Not in all cases, but he does. When God reveals where you are to him.
That's right.
And why that was in this case was because it is written. There are some things that's written about you that there's nothing that you do is going to change it. Hello?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
The only thing that's going to change anything in your life is prayer.
Amen.
That's the only thing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want to get into what I was saying, why Jesus prayed that, because that'll help to explain. but suffice just to be with this right here, and I'm going to finish. I'm not going to preach long. I'm finishing. Just to say, after saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered the grove of olive trees. Now, I thought about a whole lot of different things in this passage, but one of the things that stood out to me was this: after saying it. There is an after in our lives. Everything's not going to remain the same, says Julia. But Bonnie, everything's not going to remain the same. There's going to be some afters in our lives. Isn't that right, Mother David? You know, praise the Lord. After you finish raising your children, that's when the Holy Spirit really starts dealing with you. He can deal with you, and you can do what you do now when them children, them girls are young. And a lot of times folks don't understand that. Oh, God called me to the ministry. Yeah, he did, but sometimes you got to wait until the time called after. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Jesus said on one occasion, sometimes these only come after. What happened? Prayer and fasting. Did God call us to that yet? Listen, God has said some things for us at Mount Pisgah. And the only way it's going to happen is that we're going to have to pray and fast. You hear what I'm saying? And I'm going to talk about that too. I don't want you to get up all hung up on fasting and think, well, I'm fasting and God got to hear me. No, it ain't all about that. God wants to show up in you. But he can't show up in you unless you're obedient. And that's what this whole verse is about right here. Obedient.
Amen.
How do you know, Pastor? Well, you got to move on down. I told you this is everything about this first verse. But look what it says. Go to verse 4. You got to stay with me now, because be ready, okay? Jesus, what?
Fully realized.
What?
All that was going on.
He already knew.
Yes, sir.
Before he crossed the valley.
Yeah.
Before he went into the Kidron.
Yeah.
He already knew. Go back to verse 1. I wrote this on November. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. What an excited and emboldened witness of the power and authority in knowing you are in the will of God. What? What? In the will of God? Lord, have mercy. Did y'all know? Do you understand what's that? Man, when you get down to the rest of it, it says the last verse, just go to verse number 13. Is it 12? 12. Go to verse 12 for me, baby. So what happened? Did what? And did what? He's in the will of God. Go back to verse 1. He knew all of this was going to happen. The Bible says he went, after saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley. Now, you need to understand, the Kidron Valley means dusky and dark. And the water was dirty, usually because it brought down all of the blood and the muck and the mire from the temple's sacrifices. He had to cross them dark waters, didn't he, brother? Now, what you need to understand is this. He stepped forward so we could do what?
Step up.
Now, notice what it says right here. Where's my point? After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley. What?
With his disciples.
Who went across the waters with Jesus? What is that telling you? You're going to have to go across some dark waters too. As much as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For as many as suffered in the flesh have done what? Ceased from sin. Are you with me? Are you with me? So the Bible says he went across there with his disciples, and they entered a grove of olive trees. I'll talk about that later. What a powerful, encouraging lesson for us to receive and embrace when we are tried. Although every trial that we face might not be as obvious as this encounter of Jesus, nonetheless, with the full knowledge that Holy Spirit provides, we can still step forward as Jesus did. I wrote this before the Lord let me know that this is going to be the message. So you can see how Holy Spirit is just already talking. When faced with a trial, instead of trying to take authority, we must walk with the authority of full knowledge as Jesus walked. Are you listening? Walk with the authority. Isn't that what those disciples were doing? They were walking with the authority. That's who we are. It hasn't changed. His relationship to us has not changed as it was with them. It hasn't changed. The only only thing that changed was he says, I'm going away, and I'm going to empower you to do even more, this even more. You're going to be my witness as you walk through the dark waters. You're going to be my witness as you show the world that our only victory is in surrender and obedience to God. Are you with me? The text says that Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. I believe that knowing all that was going to happen to him empowered Jesus to move forward rather than backwards or sidestep or change the situation in any way. Could he not have done that? Huh? Yes, he could have. Couldn't he? Remember that now the next time you're faced with a trial. Remember that. Remember that. He certainly had the power to prevent the enemy from moving forward, didn't he? Yeah. Verse 6 says what? And it attests to the validity of the authority and power. Verse 6 says when they spoke to him, he spoke to them. He had the authority. He had the power. He could have sidestepped. He could have changed up things in any way. Let me finish so you can grasp what I'm saying. As Jesus said, I am he, they fell backwards to the ground. Therefore, when we face a trial, instead of rebuking and trying to take authority over the enemy, thereby escaping or circumventing God's plan, we should follow Jesus' example and boldly step forward in complete victorious surrender. Individually and corporately as a body of Christ. Did God not call us together as a body? And he said, call a solemn assembly. Didn't he say so? So we're going to do that as a corporate body. But listen, it doesn't mean anything if you come here and pretend that you're a part of the body and you haven't been fasting and praying. And you don't have the spirit of the solemn assembly in you. You're not just coming here because Pastor said it. Because Sister Katie said, Pastor, they must have didn't realize that you were out of town because a whole lot of folk came. Well, that's how it's supposed to be. God just said, come and call a solemn assembly. If Pastor Wilson is there, he said, call a solemn. You better hear what the Lord is saying. And Sister Shirley, I don't even have to worry no more. You know why? Because if the Spirit of God is in you, and the Spirit is speaking to your spirit, isn't that right, Mother? Because the Spirit speaks to the Spirit. He doesn't speak to the flesh. The flesh cannot receive what God's saying. And if you're trying to circumvent what God's plan is, if you're trying to sidestep, if you're trying to prevent God's plan in any way, you're not obedient. And you're not following the example of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, when we face trial, instead of rebuking and trying to take authority over the enemy, thereby escaping or circumventing God's plan, we should follow Jesus' example and boldly step forward in complete victorious surrender, individually and corporately as a body of Christ. And then my prayer. Father, may I so live in a life in complete surrender to the will of God, just as Jesus did. In the face of every trial, may I step forward in the authority, power, and victory of full knowledge. In Jesus' name, he stepped forward so I can step up. And you need to step up. Don't be scared to step. Some of us got scared to step up, Mother Davis. We don't step up when our children. Instead of stepping up and saying, no, God said we're going to do it this way. My daughter Katie is not here, and she said, Daddy, you use me as an example. I said, I'm so sorry, Aaron. But she said, okay, Dad, no, it's all right. That is, it's true. I told her the night that I went to the high school, hallelujah, when Katie was in private school from grade kindergarten all the way up to the ninth grade, eighth grade. So when she entered ETHS, Katie had a GPA of 3.75. You hear me? From the ninth grade to the 10th grade at Christmas break, her GPA was 0.75. You talking about somebody that was disheartened. You talking about somebody that wanted to commit murder. You love my CK. I caught all my shot time. Someone who did not even appreciate the sacrifices that we had to spend all that money, drive them to school because we didn't have a school bus. got the nerve to buck up at me.
Come on, man.
Somebody said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For God's restraining power. She's still here. I'm still here. Got my Davis. Otherwise, not neither one of us would be. And the devil would have won. 0.75. So, Sister Julia, the night that we left that school, after that, what they call them, conference? Lord have mercy. I was quiet. Anybody ever hear a quiet storm?
Yes, sir.
That quietness before in the hurricanes really is relief. I was quiet. Saying, dangerous. Somebody said that. Hakaraba. And that's what you need to understand. Thank you. Because some of us are living dangerously quiet lives. Just because God hasn't jumped on you and whooped you and caused you pain and made you surrender to his will, you think you're doing okay. You're still making up your mind. You're still willful, doing things the way you want to do it. We walked in the house. I was just so discouraged and I just couldn't say nothing. And I don't even know why I was going in the basement. But isn't that very symbolic? I was already down. I was going down deeper. Going down. And it's almost like I'm going down because you ain't around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you think God is not around, because God is not around, because God is light, and wherever God is, there's light, and he comes and dispels the darkness. But I'm in this darkness and there ain't no light to be seen. But Brother Blakely, I don't know what happened. I heard a mama and Katie talking. And it was about, because she had started writing. Everything she had on her had to do with the symbol of the occult. She had got mixed up and she was wearing black all the time. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. How could you let the devil just walk up in my house? Listen to me carefully. Mother, I got about halfway down the stairs, and something inside of me, the Holy Spirit stood up, and I turned around. I came back up them steps, and I said, Katie, I didn't hit her. I said, Katie, I want you to go in your room, and I want you to take everything, your pants, your books, school books, anything that has those symbols on them, and get them out of my house. Tonight.
Yes, sir.
Not next. And listen to me. When I said it was just like, yes, Daddy. So she heard something other than just my voice. You hear what I'm saying? So you and I don't have to worry about taking authority. We already have it. And if you are in the place that I'm talking about here today, you can use the authority. Jesus wasn't talking about taking authority. He just spoke. He said, I'm he. Y'all hear me? Shall we stand? I've been preaching about an hour, right? Shall we stand, please? Thank you, Lord. I want to report to you that she took all that stuff and threw it away.
Praise
Amen.
And now I surely wish that I could stand here and tell y'all that we all lived happily ever after. Sister Julia used that Trinidadian stuff on me. She said, sometimes it don't end so. It's the same thing. It don't end like that. And it didn't. I would think that it would, but God has a plan that's already written.
Yes,
isn't that right? Yes. And so God didn't change her, Sister Shirley, yet. But he did some changing.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He did some changing, brother.
Yes.
She's so pretty. Praise God. And you know what? That's what he's doing in your life right now.
Yes.
That's the reason he said to call a solemn assembly.
Hallelujah.
Because the Lord wants us to know, listen, you don't have to worry about the 31 million. Just take care of that heart.
Yes.
And watch me work.
Yes.
You hear me? And I was driving to church this morning. I said, Lord, the figure came in my $31 million I made the write off of Dodge to go on to Denver. $31 million. Kept driving. And before I could even start to think about it, it was already gone.
Hallelujah.
You know why?
Yes, right.
Because God has promised us.
Yes.
We got his word.
Hallelujah.
We have his word. And we have the full knowledge of what's going to happen.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Sister Carolyn? You got the full knowledge. You may step out here today and all hell may break loose. But I promise you this one thing. I don't know where that movie was, but if someone had a movie and they said, the only reason, the best way a songwriter can write the best love song is when his heart has been broken.
Yeah.
You know something then. See, that's what we try to tell our children, everybody says. We try to tell our children because we already done went through it and we said, don't go this way. But they don't listen. They got to get their heart broken. And then they had to come back and say, Mama said tell me. Mama don't lie. Amen. God bless you.